Welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, everywhere you listen to podcasts, YouTube as well. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. And unfortunately, Nicole, my usual co-host, couldn't make it today, although she will be here next week when I get a tea reading from Reese Miller. But since we're talking about rock, who better to have on the show than everybody's favorite vegan heavy metal DJ and co-host of Vegans Uncensored, Hannah Bock.
Hi, guys. Good to be back.
Anna, you can't, trust me, she's there. You can't see her. She's driving, but she did want to get here because we're talking about all things rock. And Hannah missed my birthday show, but she's here. This is the 2 out of 3 weeks. I don't know if people are going to start having conspiracy theories that you're coming back. I don't know what's going to happen.
That's already happened.
Oh, is that right? You're kicking Nicole out and you've taken over?
Kind of, you know. I've gotten a couple texts like, "Oh, so you're back, huh?" And it's like, "No, still mad."
Yeah, but you always had an open invitation, so that's yeah, where
thank
we're at.
You.
Anyway, as people know, I primarily listen to, you know, my number one love as far as music is goth and industrial music. But you know what? Whatever's good is good. I like all sorts of music, and anything that is good, there's good and bad in every type of music, although Hannah will say there's no such good thing as good rap, but that's a whole different argument. But I say there's good and bad in pretty much every music, and I love hard rock. And when I first started listening to music, I was listening to a lot of classic rock, great bands, you know, AC/DC, ZZ Top, Ted Nugent, Van Halen. And if you like those bands, this is somebody you got to check out because you will like his stuff. I really like it. I got to thank Charlie Renegade for putting this together. This man is the bad boy of rock. He is bringing retro rock back. It's Alex Cole.
Hi.
Yeah, this is, first off, I hate Zoom. I'm going to get that out of the way firsthand. And we're also Zooming worldwide because you are in Italy. Are you in Milan?
I'm currently in Italy, yes. And thank you so much, Mark and Hannah, for having me here. It's a pleasure, and I'm really happy that you did a great introduction, and you know, I'm so grateful to be, you know, called like that because I grew up with all the bands that you just mentioned, and when I saw AC/DC first time, I was blown away by the energy, ZZ Top, and actually I saw them in Italy the first time, and I said, what was that? I went home and I wanted to write and the same music that has the same vibes. And I used to, you know, I saw the light when I saw the Blues Brothers movie. Okay. So John Belushi really got me into this. Right. So I always loved comedy. I did theater in my youth and, you know, when I was younger. So I was like, I like comedy, but John Belushi did something with the blues and Dan Aykroyd. I loved the movie. And so I started, you know, singing in clubs in Milan. But then was like, okay, this is the blues. I love it. Elvis Presley and everything. But when I saw AC/DC, they combined rock and roll with the blues. And I was like really impressed by the energy they got on stage, right? But and then I went to see Ted Nugent in 2009. And then it was like, I saw him in London. And I flew into London to see him, right? And it was like, just jump on stage. I was used to see his videos on YouTube or, you know, right. You know. So I discovered this huge rock star. But then I saw him live and I was completely blown away. And I saw him like jumping on stage and doing all the rock stuff. And I said, I'm going to meet this guy one day. And then 10 years later, I opened for him in a great tour. Like yes. 7 gigs through California, Arizona. So
you manifested really it. Grateful. And I'll tell you, you can exactly manifest things, and you manifested opening for Ted Nugent and having Ted Nugent praise you and say that you were great and teach you a couple guitar tricks. And
yeah, thank you for saying that. I'm really honored because he's a really nice guy. And we had, you know, time to chat in the green room after a show in San Juan Capistrano at the Coach House. And Jesus, I mean, the next day he wanted to take a picture with me because he got really happy. And I saw people were after the show meet and greet with me, you know, taking pictures and, you know, buy all the CDs and merchandise. But yeah, I felt that his people like my stuff and I felt the connection, right? And so he was happy to have somebody open for him. And I tell you something, the first gig was in Pasadena at the Rose. You know what happened? Bill Siddons, the first manager from Doors, saw my show opening for Ted. And he said, and he told me, Alex, I never saw somebody open for a big guy like Ted Nugent and having a standing ovation like you had.
Well, and there's so much to your story, and I think that it's great. We're going to start with the Ted Nugent stuff. And ironically, first time I met Hannah, she's like, I got so many stories, I should be on your podcast. And then 2 years later, she was the co-host. So these things happen, but not quite the same as opening for Ted Nugent and hanging out with him. But your logo is very similar to Ted Nugent. And you play a hollow body guitar just like Ted Nugent. So there's definitely the influence. So I could see Ted Nugent looking at you and saying, all right, this guy's a chip off the old block.
Mm-hmm. Well, I grew up, you know, listening to all the bands like AC/DC, but also the guitar playing of Stevie Ray Vaughan, Angus Young, and Richie Blackmore. But I really love the hollow body that is also Jimmy McCartney from Cactus used to play the Birdland. And I really... Right. I love also George Thorogood, how he played the 125. So
George Thorogood, yeah. Billy Duffy from the Cult, same
exactly. Type of thing.
Now, is there a difference in the sound between a hollow body and like the Les Paul you have behind you?
Oh, yeah, she's the baby.
I mean, I know it's lighter.
Yeah. Well, the difference is the hollow body has a really like big sound because it resonates into the body. Mm-hmm. And when you feel the feedback coming out, when you're playing, when you open the amplifier and you just play it loud, it's really like, there's something really coming alive, you know? So I feel when Ted says that he loves this guitar because it's really, it's alive. So it's pretty tricky because you have to play with the knobs, you know, the volume knobs. And because otherwise, if you keep it open, it screams and it's still like it's you know, it lives by himself. But I mean, you have to like I studied a lot by myself. Yeah, I watched how he was playing, you know, playing with the thumbs and, you know, volume and all the tricks and stuff. And is one of my great inspirations, you know. And when I play on stage, like I play original music, you know, like you said, power rock, it's all my it's all composed. But when I play covers, it's not just because I have to please the crowd, but because free for all from Ted Nugent, I feel his energy going into my fingers and in my soul. And it's like a tribute to me, you know, to when I play these songs like LaGrange from ZZ Top. I pay tribute to these big bands because I feel that I grew up with this stuff. So
But here's the thing about Ted Nugent. I like Ted Nugent. I don't agree with him politically at all. A lot of people don't like him, and I know Hannah's a vegan, so the fact that he hunts is. But when I see him talk, the guy's smart and he's funny, and I don't have to agree with him politically. He's always a fun interview, and on stage, he's a great guitar player. And from everything I've seen, and I haven't seen him live, but I really have to, especially, you know, while I can, he puts on a great show.
It's like, I feel like the same thing because when I go on stage, like I feel like an out of body experience. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of the same because when I had the chance to meet him at the show and it was like 69 and he's still rocking. I mean, like 2 hour show, completely powerful, energizing. And he wanted to beat me after the show. And I was like, oh no, what did I do wrong? You know, like. I was like a little bit, you know, shaking because, you know, Ted Nugent. And it was like, chill out. It was so nice. And he said, Alex, I really like your music. And I really love what you do. And so we hang out for like a couple of hours and it was really nice. Nice. I have a great memory from that night. And I became friends with his son, Rocco. And he's vegan. Rock is vegan and very.
I heard that. Yeah.
Spirituality. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Ted, you know, Ted grew up. I've been talking with people. Told me about they don't agree politically. I mean, this is just rock and roll, right? And
who cares? It's fine. Yeah, you don't have to.
He grew up in the forest, like.
Yeah.
It's his style. I mean, it's.
Well, he's good friends with Tom Morello, who's completely opposite politically, but right. They're both great guitar players, and they just like to hang out. So yeah, and that's the way things should be, and unfortunately are not. But does that warm your heart, Hannah, that Ted Nugent's son is vegan?
I think it's sweet. I grew up on Ted Nugent as well, and my dad, when my mom met him, he had a smokehouse, and I'm from Alaska, and so he used to hunt. I don't hate my dad, and he doesn't do it anymore.
Right.
You know, sometimes he just grew up some way.
But what's your favorite Ted Nugent song, Anna?
Stranglehold.
Yeah. But before we get to, because there's so much more to your story, we could talk Ted Nugent all day, but I want to talk about Alex Hull. Right. But did you style your logo after the Ted Nugent sort of logo?
I love Ted Nugent logo, and I wanted to do something that stands out. I mean, like, you can read it. And there's a lot of logos out there, like with heavy metal or, you know, thrash metal bands. Like, they're making all these logos that you cannot, like, read. But I wanted to do something more, like, classical, right? Hard rock, powerful. And even Pat Travers, you know, Pat Travers has kind of, you can read his name. There's it's like a 70s logo, right? I wanted to be connected with that style.
Right. No, Hannah's laughing because she's thinking about all the death metal logos that nobody can hear.
Yeah, I am. I'm like, I get that. Yep.
So I know a couple of people that have like death metal logos, and I was thinking of getting one for myself, and I was like, yeah, nobody's going to be able to read it. So it's kind of
right. Stupid. But that's the particularity of, I guess, this kind of
thing. I had somebody make a logo for me, and I was like, it's kind of cool, but nobody can read it. So anyway, before we get going, we've been going for about 50 minutes, but I do have to say that we are sponsored, because I know you have sponsors too. So we are sponsored by Raise Energy Drink, the best energy drink there. And it's vegan. And the best part about it, it tastes great. They have great flavors like Baja Lime, Voodoo Fruit Punch flavor. They have a Pina Colada flavor. They have a sour gummy worm flavor. All the flavors, zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash. So if you go to the description, if you're listening on a podcast catcher or YouTube, there's a code. You get 15% off a case. You can't get these at 7-Elevens. You can't get these in supermarkets. You can get them at GMCs or gyms. Well, why pay full price? Go to the code that we have. Get 15% off a case. Raise Energy Drinks. It's the best. Zero calories, zero carbs, zero crash, zero dyes, zero meats, but all taste. Alex, your name is not really Alex.
My name is not really Alex. What do you mean?
You were not born Alex Hull. You were born in Italy.
Oh, yeah. That's...
I've read your real name. I'm not going to read it on the air because I know it's a closely guarded secret, but I did find it. Who did you name yourself Alex Hull? Did somebody else name you Alex Hull? How did that happen?
I did. You know, people call me Alex, and Cole, it's because I used to listen, you know, swing, you know, kind of.
Nat King Cole?
Nat King Cole, yeah, also. And I remember David Lee Roth when he was playing, you know, like the video Just a Gigolo. I used to play that song a lot. I used to dress like David. Absolutely. I really love that. So David Lee Roth and Van Halen just really got me into That's Life. That's what a lot of people say. You know, I really like his voice when he was called the Frank Sinatra of power rock, you know, hard rock. Sure. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's part of what I like your music, because I'll be honest, a lot of hard rock and heavy metal loses me because the singers are too hot. I'm not into that really high, like singing.
Exactly.
And you're talking about Van Halen, and I acknowledge Sammy Hagar's very talented singer, but to me, he sings too high and screams too much. David Lee Roth does not, and your singing, and I think this is why grunge took hair metal out, because I think people were sick of that high screaming and they wanted a little more gruffness to the vocals. And you have that, which is ironic because you're a classically trained singer.
Yeah, actually, in Italy, people and vocal coaches, and they wanted to have me become a pop star. But, you know, this is not what I grew up with. You know, I grew up with Michael Jackson and also all this, you know, rock and roll stuff. And that's why I wanted to be, I went to America in 2014 because I wanted to be more by myself. And people really, I recorded with the best engineer, like you hear, you know, Bad Boy Rocker. So I played and I could be myself, Alex Cole. So even my shows when I play, you know, the first time the Whiskey Mario Maglieri actually was the first person who believed in me. And because he heard my Italian voice, because I said, ciao, and he said, ciao. So, oh,
it was Paisan bonding.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
I'm part Italian, so I know I can do this. Yes.
What's up?
Hey, yeah, what's up?
But Gabagool.
But before then, now let me go back because I don't want to lose this. Because I've heard this before. You were being groomed to be a pop singer. Now, how do you do that? Because there's so many people trying to be pop singers and here. I mean, were you just, I mean, when did you start singing? When you were in school, when you were, and did somebody like look at you and say, wait a second, this is the next Backstreet Street, the boy. I mean, what happened?
Oh, it was the Blues Brothers movie. Then I started playing clubs in Milan, you know, in live clubs, and I dressed like Blues Brothers. And
okay.
I was just going around and just, you know, playing and be accepted.
Was there another Blues Brother with you, or you were just a solo?
Oh no, I was by myself. You know, I was by. I was a little kid. So my dad was, you know, taking me to the places. So a vocal coach found me and he said, you know, Alex, you have to train. You have to be like a good vocalist. So I'm okay. I did kind of a little bit of school, but he wanted me to become like a pop star, or like singing too much perfectly. Yes, I did something like that, but my life and my path was different.
Well, I know, definitely. But I mean, they wanted you to be like, you know, like sing Euro disco, or was like a
boy band in Italy. Sort of thing. In Italy they have like disco, they have Latin, they have hip hop, so all the mellow music, right? But no.
Right.
I grew up with Chuck Berry and listening to, you know, Johnny B. Goode. You can't even like singing in Italian, Johnny B. Goode. It's like watching a movie with subs. I mean,
right.
Is that why rock and roll?
About Johnny B. Goode. No, go ahead, Hannah.
No, yeah.
Is that why rock and roll is so big in Europe and everybody can still tour over there? Is because it's not like America, because rock and roll is still like loved and America's all like pop and, you know.
It's more niche in America.
Well, also Germany, Sweden, you know. There's a big attention. There's a lot of tours. Yeah, there's Sweden Rock. They have the Wacken Open Air Fest. There's a lot of stuff. But America, actually, when I'm at Los Angeles, I will always be grateful to Los Angeles because I played the Viper Room many times, the Whiskey. I played for the Lotus Festival in Echo Park, so 5 times. And, you know, I'm grateful. I've been to the NEMM show 5 years in a row, sponsoring, endorsing brands. And I have many friends there. I steal my guitar there. So I just can't wait to come back and do more shows.
We can't wait to have you back. But this begs the question now. When you grew up, and I'm trying to formulate this because when you grew up, as far as rock music, and I don't know in Italy if this was the case, but here in America, what rock was getting played on the radio was like Fall Out Boy, The Strokes, like it was like either the garage rock. Or, you know, or like pop punk, like Simple Plan and stuff like that. How do you grow up with that around you and the Italian equivalent and say, you know what? I like all these 70s bands. I mean, these guys are before your time.
Because I'm a curious guy. I like to go and study a lot what was behind the Blues Brothers. You know, I started with the blues and then I found out AC/DC and then a new world opened up completely.
Right.
So when I went to school, I was like, actually, I got to listen a little bit of Limp Bizkit stuff, you know, kind of Eminem too, Eminem.
Sure.
But yeah, I mean, I wanted to, you know, I
that didn't resonate with you, but George Thorogood did.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think it's the feel. I think it's the groove. It's like James Brown. It's all the funky. It's all something that got into me, you know, like the connection with the music, really. The groove, it's the more important thing to me. So
it's the era where blues gave birth to rock and roll.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And spun off into something that's a little different, because you're not a traditional blues player, but there's definitely blues influences in your playing. Exactly. Here's what's interesting about you, though, is that, like I said, they were training you to be a singer, to be a big Euro disco pop star. Mm-hmm. And you didn't play guitar at all. Like your singing teacher had you learn guitar.
Well, I
know you love guitar music.
I met my guitar teacher at 19 years old when I was having vocal coaches, like vocal lessons. And I started like Eric Clapton. Eric Clapton started kind of late. So and my guitar teacher was like, he started me with the blues, you know. And then I just got into this and I started playing, you know, my guitar. I never stopped playing it.
Right. So, because you're a very accomplished guitar player, that's why I'm surprised that, I mean, you started at 19. I mean, that's fairly late for somebody who's got the chops that you do.
I was going to bed with there.
I've read that. Now, here's the thing. Now, let me ask you this. Now, we had Aaron Rossi, the drummer for Ministry, on our show a few years ago, and he work with John Five, who's now the guitar player for Motley Crue, obviously Marilyn Manson, Rob Zombie, and he said that John Five never left anywhere without a guitar and would go to the bathroom with the guitar. Did you go that far? You were that.
I feel that. I feel it. It's kind of feel the same thing.
You're like, absolutely. I got to take a dump. I'm going to take my guitar.
You got to do something for the plate on your phone.
Was that Hannah?
Oh, I said you have to do something besides playing on your phone. You know, you're sitting there. You might as well. If it makes sense, it makes sense. Bring your guitar in.
Exactly. Yeah. Everywhere. I remember I was doing a TV show in Italy, and it was the first time that I was practicing and studying guitar. And I remember they took us and they had us for like hours in the dressing room, waiting until like 11 p.m. from like 1 p.m. So all day in this green in the dressing room waiting for the shoot, and I brought my guitar, and then I was like practicing every day. So I brought her everywhere. So every time I could, I was playing like riffs and AC/DC stuff, blues, gong, 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 you know, all this like shuffle stuff. So
right.
What did you name her? What was her name? Your first guitar. What was her name?
Oh yeah. You know, people ask me what kind of name I give my guitar, but actually, I really don't give names. I mean, like, she's my baby, and I have another baby.
Save you one and baby two.
Yeah, that's my Les Paul baby, my hollow body babies in L.A. And yeah. So, was there a demand for this type of rock in Italy?
There's a lot of fans of music here. Especially rock and roll, hard rock, but the business, there's not a lot of business with rock.
Well, you got into music. I feel bad every time I interview a musician, because you got into music right when it died.
Right.
Right when people stopped buying records. And you did. You got into music. I mean, it's not your fault that you were born when you were born, but you know, if you were born 20 years earlier, you would have been, I mean, could you imagine Alex in the 80s?
I could, yeah.
He'd be all over MTV.
Yeah, you would. I mean, I'm the same age and I have the same taste in music as you, so I understand where you're coming from. It's just, like, year we were born, it's like,
You both are out of time.
Yeah. Damn it.
You know, when I was in Italy, you know, friends and people say, you know, Alex, you're Italian. You cannot play rock and roll. You know, if you go to America. Yeah. I was like pushing down all the time. But yeah, I felt I could do, you know, could do something. And hey, I can do it. At least I try. Right. And so.
Oh, they eat you up. Yeah.
I mean, look, Lacuna Coil pushed through. But other than them, I'm trying to think of like a really big Italian rock band.
Oh, a big Italian rock band? Like
Lacuna Coil.
Oh, yeah. Through. Lacuna Coil, absolutely.
But
yeah.
Other than them, I don't know.
In the world, I don't know. No.
Yeah, and I've seen Lacuna Coil. They were terrific. But, no, I was going to say, totally different type of music, but very good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But, no, I was going to say now, now you were like, oh, I got to go to America, and you went to America, and like you just flew here, or you had people that were awaiting you, or
no, completely by myself.
The classic runaway shows up at the Rainbow, doesn't know anybody, and then Mario, the owner of the Rainbow.
Yep.
Now he just caught you speaking Italian, started speaking Italian with you.
I said ciao, and I approached him because he said ciao. So I went to meet him because it was nice. He said ciao. I didn't know he was the owner. So because I'm kind, so I was there and I say, okay, ciao, thank you. I mean, like, let's talk. And I found out it was Mario. And then he picked up the phone. Before that, he said, what you got? You know, I made him listen to some of my music on the phone. And he said, Alex, I haven't heard music like this for 30 years. Do you want to play the whiskey tomorrow? I didn't have a guitar with me. So I went to a pawn shop after I picked up the job from the table. And I said, yes, of course. So I went to a pawn shop and I bought a guitar for $250, actually. It was an Epiphone. And then the next day I was at the whiskey playing with a friend of mine who was a drummer. And then we had another friend that used to play bass. He was studying there. But the next day
Whiskey. You know, you just got into America and now you're playing. And I've been on that stage. You know, I mean, it's just everybody, the Doors, yeah. Everybody played there. You know, Hendrix, The Who. Van Halen, Motley Crue, everybody you idolize play that stage, and you just got to America a couple of days later, you're on that stage.
Right.
And I can see you tearing up that stage. I think that, I mean, that, if any stage in LA is made for you, it's the Whiskey.
Yeah, there's a lot of videos also on YouTube of my shows recently, you know, at the Whiskey, the Rainbow. So I have collaborated with a lot of great people, like photographers. Actually remember a magazine came out and reviewed me and said, Alex, you are one of the best bands in Hollywood right now. And aww. I was happy. Yeah, they were really supporting. So I bring Los Angeles in my heart because I have a lot of friends there. We keep in touch and they really support me, and I'm thankful to be, you know, friends of people in LA, because there's a lot of people who really love how you work hard, or you just really want to connect with music and make the city a great place to be for, you know, music and entertainment.
Right, but you're. I mean, did you move back to Italy? Are you bi-coastal? I mean, you're going back and forth. What's the deal? Because you're in Italy right now.
Yeah, I'm currently here, and I'm waiting for a new tour or something. So I'm in contact with the manager. So. We are waiting to, you know, to what happened.
it's gonna happen. But no, this is what I was gonna say, is that as far as the music business, this is why tickets for the big bands are so high, is because they can't sell any records, and they missed out on 2 years of touring. So I mean, I've got a lot of friends that are, there's a festival in Las Vegas, System of a Down, Ministry, Sisters of Mercy, a lot of interesting bands are going to be on there. People are like, oh my God, it's like $250 with a $100 fee. And I'm like, I don't buy tickets to concerts anymore because it's too expensive. I will go check out local bands like yours. It's more fun anyway.
there's a lot of bands playing the same nights too, so you have to pick up which one you want to go see.
That's the other thing too. You got two bands that you like, they're playing at the same time. So, you know, so you got in right at, you know, right at the tail end of, you know, nobody's buying records, everybody's streaming. And, you know, I'm guilty of that. I've been streaming for free for, you know, forever, but where you do make money and you have been making money is movie and TV soundtracks, because you're, well, you hear this, Hannah, your single Bad Boy was in the movie Senior Moments.
Exactly. And
you're in a video with the stars of Senior Moment. There he is, William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd from Back to the Future. And Gene Smart is in the movie too. And so, I mean, how cool is it that you're in your music video, you got Captain Kirk and Doc Brown from Back to the Future? That it doesn't get cooler than that.
That was amazing. I mean, I had the chance to work with the director, Giorgio Serafini, who wanted to have my song Bad Boy Rocker after he saw me performing with Kat Nugent. And he was like, he really liked the song, he really liked my energy. And he said, hey, I'm going to put your song in the movie. What do you think about that? I was like, okay. And then he wanted to shoot the video of the song with that you can see on YouTube, and with the movie scene cut in it. So I'm thankful, because also Gina Goff, the producer, also the video and Screen Media Films distributed. I'm really happy that that was a great teamwork. So I'm really grateful. And there's something still stirring the pot. I cannot talk about it, but I love the team. I love working with them. And they are other people who believed in me. So I'm really blessed. I'm happy. So this is great.
And the way they cut the video, it's pretty seamless. So I mean, it's some of these videos where they're on a soundtrack, it's really choppy. Like you could tell, like you know, this actually looks pretty. It flows pretty good. It goes from
Wave it's pretty funny, right?
It's a lot of fun, and it cuts really well together. Now, have you?
I'm sorry to cut you off, but also Giovanni Morricone. He did the editing of the video clip, so that was like really nice to see it. Also, really really funny too. A nice editing, yeah.
But it was great editing, and the cinematography you matched, because a lot of times when you get like videos where it's a band and then they show clips from the movie, it's like two different things. And this one it really flowed. And then at the end, after you've been rocking, William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd have a very funny moment at the end of the movie. At the end of the video. And I haven't seen the movie, but I look forward to it. Now, do you have a big senior citizen following based on that movie now?
It's actually,
you get some seniors, some older ladies.
Let's hope so. They have the money.
Well, yeah, also, you know, when I play the shows, there's a lot of, you know, grown-up people who like, you know, the music that reminds them of the 70s, the 80s. So, I don't know, there's a lot of young people, but, you know, even not that seniors, but, you know, just grown-up. So
I thought you would, like you got a whole nursing home, like following from the William Shatner
movie. Oh!
I guess not. I know these people walk. I hope so. Speaking of that now, it's very strange, and this is a fashion choice that honestly I personally can't pull off, but you rock the tight bell bottoms on stage. That's not something that, you know, you see every day these days. Explain that fashion choice to me, because I was never into bell bottoms. Hannah, are you into bell bottoms?
I am. I love bell bottoms. I always have. I have many pairs of my own with platforms, and they make me look taller.
I love the fact that I love the shape, and like that reminds of people of the 70s. So I had somebody who helped me to design them and put the thingies on the side. So I love the white, and I used to also wear, I mean, like white boots. That James Brown, you know, that also the fashion that actually the fact that the pants are tight and with the bell bottom, I feel more free to dance on stage. So I feel like like that.
Really, so, really. I would think that about you would trip over the bell bottoms or something. But
no.
It's actually better for dancing.
I'm Anna? Sorry.
Oh, I was gonna say you have to just get them hemmed to the right, you know, length, and you won't trip over them. And they look great with no shirt on guys, or like a band shirt with girls, you know, long hair.
Exactly.
Well, Alex has no problem rocking the no shirt look. I've seen that myself, and I've seen his bulge in his bell bottoms too. But you, I'm personally not comfortable with taking my shirt off on stage, much to everybody's chagrin. But you, I mean, you're in great shape, and you actually, now I know you have a jump rope sponsorship. That can't be the only exercise you do to get those muscles that you have.
It's also eating, you know, a good diet and intermittent fasting. So I started
Is that what it is?
Yeah, intermittent fasting, keto
diet. In Italy, with all the great Italian food?
I know, I'm having a hard time. But, you know, I'm eating a little bit of pasta more. But, you know, I'm stick with my avocados. You know, salmons and a lot of kales. No, kales, I don't think we have kales here. Unfortunately, I love kale. Oh, but I know. Broccoli or cauliflower rice that I started to make in Los Angeles. It's great, actually. It's good for you. Anna, you know cauliflower rice?
I do. I make it.
Oh, wow. I love it. Yeah, it's very nice. So good. Very good. It's tasty because it has not a lot of calories like rice.
Cauliflower rice. Yeah, cauliflower. You can do cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Well, I know that. Yeah, there's a lot of. So you guys are getting all your fire.
My building, guys. I'm. Come over. I'll make it.
No. Yeah. Well.
Yes. We
don't tempt me, but. Although I did see somebody, and I have to take offense to this, but somebody said that. You look like Neil Schon from Journey, and you look a lot better than that guy does. I got to be honest. Great guitar player, but it's just the curly hair, I think, is what it is.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, but I prefer Neil Schon from Journey when he had the big 70s afro hair. That's right. That was the good the Neil Schon. But how did you get a residency in Las Vegas? You were playing at the Red Rock for a while.
It was the Rio Casino.
Oh, Rio, I'm sorry, even better.
Yeah. No worries. Yeah. Because
Red Rock's way out there. Rio's like right there. And that's where, you know, Penn Teller and, you know, they have great comedy there. How did you get that?
I showed up and say, I want to play.
Really?
No, actually, no. The owner, I mean, was the booking agent from the Viper Room that started to have the job there. So he was booking bands at the 172 in the Rio Casino. Right. And we stay in touch. So he liked my show and say, why not? So I went there, and the owner of the club was actually celebrating the club because it was a new club. And I did actually two shows the first time. It was like I had two sets. The first one was kind of private party from the Caesars Entertainment. So it was the people from the Caesars Palace.
Right.
So I did like a pre-show for them, like a private party.
Right.
And then I changed clothes because I was pretty sweat. And then I weighed like an hour ago. And then an hour and I play my set with a different dress. But yeah, it was crazy, crazy night. And then at the Rio I opened for Anvil, you know, the Anvil band.
Right. I was going to get to that. You've opened for a lot of people now. Anvil, if people don't know, Anvil, who has been around since the 80s. Hannah knows Anvil.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry.
Well, right, just in time, Hannah. We're talking about Anvil because you know Anvil. Did you see the documentary about Anvil?
Yes.
Yes. Well, Alex opened for Anvil, and this must have been right after the documentary when they were getting really popular again, right, Alex?
I'm sorry?
Was this after the documentary when they were starting to get popular again?
Oh, you mean the movie? The
documentary? Yeah, Anvil.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the Anvil movie. Yeah, the Anvil film. Yeah. They got more views and they got more popularity after that. Yeah.
They were very hot for a couple of years after the documentary because the documentary basically is how this big 80s band sort of is now playing small clubs. And then the movie came out and they were playing big clubs again.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But they're touring now. They have a big tour. I'm in touch with them. And
how are those guys? I mean, are they cool? How are they?
Super cool. Actually, Lips, the lead guy, the guitar player and the singer, he loved Ted Nugent. And when he saw my Gibson 137, he was like, oh my God, Alex, I love it. And so he wanted to take pictures and we talk about guitars in the green room. And we shared, you know, our love for Ted. And it was nice, really nice guy. Yeah. The band was tight. I love them. They really rock on stage. So
That's nice. I've never seen them, but yeah, I've heard good things. Now, did you get that hollow body guitar? Now we're back on guitar nerd stuff. But did you get that guitar just because that's a Ted Nugent sound, or just a coincidence?
No, like I said, I love this. I love this style to be connected with these people like Ted or George Thorogood, Jimmy McCarty. You know, even Paul McCartney played that guitar back in the days. I was like John Lennon with the Beatles there.
But you like that that classic sound, the Ted Nugent, George Thorogood sound.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, absolutely.
And speaking of AC/DC, now you opened for AC/DC's original drummer,
Tony Correnti. Exactly.
Which I didn't know that was. I didn't know. I don't know all the. I mean, I just know Angus and the singers really, and Malcolm. I mean, he was the original drummer until High Voltage.
So he told me the story. He was friends with Harry Banda and George Young. So he went
producers.
Exactly, the producers, yeah. And he was playing with the band in the studio. They were recording. And actually he told me that he started Phil Rudd to play that drumming style.
Right.
That drumming style is from Tony Correnti, actually. So he recorded High Voltage, the album, but not the album that it's international. The Australia. Hello, Anna.
Hi. Now you can see Hannah. She is. Look how beautiful she is.
I'm home.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet
you. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, he really taught Phil Rudd, who was on, you know, Highway to Hell, Back in Black, and all the classics. He taught him how to play that type of style.
Exactly.
So how was it playing with him? I mean, you're not a drummer, but.
We jammed on stage, Highway to Hell, High Voltage. It was really like a dream come true, really. he was a nice guy, super nice guy. And it was so much fun, so much fun.
And this is what's unique about you and, is that you're the singer and you're the only guitar player.
Guitar player and singer. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and you know, sometimes, you know, most usually there's a Jagger, Richards, David Lee Roth, Van Halen, but it's just you. And then you got a rhythm section. So it's, and then to put on an entertaining show and go all over the stage like you do, pretty unique.
Well, thank you. I think it's my, background in theater, and that I learn how to be on stage or just be more comfortable with people, with, you know, and be in control with the crowd and what I'm playing and what I'm singing. I like the three-piece trio because it's really powerful. I like the, you know, kind of setup, but I like to be the singer and the guitar player because I can be. And I like the powerful thing of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you have a healthy sense of you know, a healthy ego, for lack of a better word. But I mean, you back it up because you have that range. You know how to play guitar, and like I say, now the theater background. Now, were you acting, and do you think you're going to be pursuing acting at some point?
I never say never, but I don't know. Maybe what happens. I mean, like, I think music really got me into, because I can be free on stage. It's Alex Cole. So you can see like a really big beast, like coming out of my body, and I can like really make you feel good. So that's what I want. Make you feel good, make the people happy, and dance with good rock and roll music and power rock music, you know? Yeah. So I think it's a good show. I like to put a good show. That's what people want to see. A good rock and roll show.
Right. I've seen the Big Beast and the Bell Bottoms. But yeah. Go ahead, Hannah. Go ahead.
I noticed lately in America, the trend is like rock and roll on Broadway, like power rock on Broadway. Would you ever do a show like that?
Oh, like bringing up power rock and like Broadway. Oh, you know, like a yeah. story, you know, like
a yeah. Rock of Ages sort of thing, or the Who Tommy, like that type of thing.
I don't want to be like arrogant or
jukebox like musicals, what they call it. No, I'm not kidding. There's a term now, jukebox musicals. Like the Go-Go's had one. Like they just put like all these songs and they make a story out.
You know, Anna, it's funny because I don't want to be arrogant, like I was saying, but you know, I was thinking to write a book on my story because I know I'm not that old to do that, but I have something to bring out that I want to write my journey. It's still a great journey. I mean, like the goal is the journey, right? To me.
Right.
So the thing, like you said, the Broadway, I mean, like theater combined with rock and roll, who knows? That is a nice idea, actually, maybe. But you have to have connections, you know, people, producers and writers, you know, there's a lot of going on. It's a big chunk of stuff, you know.
Yeah, it seems like you have a lot of like a positive connections out here already and where you are. So I think you can make it happen. And write your book now to write another one in another 20 years and then so on, you know.
Right. Chapters, you know, I feel you connected with like spirituality. You know, I see you like you're really chill because I also I became a therapist. I'm doing practicing with I'm a healer with Tibetan singing bowls. Have you ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
So I like to healing people with the sound of these singing bowls, right? And I think I'm really connected with this, and I love how people react. And this is actually yesterday I did a sound bath with people around me.
Nice.
While I was playing, you know, these bowls.
Uh-huh.
And
it's tell me about that, Tibetan. How do you heal people with the sound of Tibetan healing bowls? I don't know that much about this.
So these bowls are made by seven metals. So like they have gold, they have silver, mercury. There's a lot of stuff in it. So, but the sound connects with your cerebral brain, like the alpha brain waves. Frequencies, and your body, it goes in a deep relaxation listening to this sound, and it takes away all the stress and the negatives. And when you listen to this and you just stay there and relax, it really makes you travel all over the space. Really, it's a nice feeling. And I tried the first time on myself because I went to studying and I want to do like more about this. I wanted to study more and I was like, whoa, this is really cool.
Yeah.
Because it connects you to the universe.
Mm-hmm. Just like you kind of connect it with music. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Maybe because I'm a musician, I have that kind of feeling.
Yeah.
But it's a really very ancient practice, like more than 6,000 years old, you know, like pre-Buddhist. So these bowls coming from like Tibet or India and all that. And in 1959, when the Dalai Lama went out, so all the monks brought out the culture and these bowls to the, you know, to Europe, you know, America, on this side of the world. So it's cool because there's people practicing there. There's not a lot. But it's an holistic good thing to do. Like I do Reiki too, you know, Reiki.
Mm-hmm. I've had that done. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like in these past 2 years, I wanted to be more connected with my inner self, and I've been meeting so many great people. Actually, in LA, musicians, my friends say, you know, Alex, I'm seeing you like playing the balls and singing with them, or bringing them to Los Angeles because they like that. I'm really happy with this. I mean, it's still connected with the music, but really I do treatments, like I put the balls all over the body, like to reharmonize the chakras.
Right.
Because our body is like a, it's like a guitar. Sometimes a string, you know, gets
tangled up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then you play a certain balls, and wow, you know, the chakra reconnects to your spirit.
Yeah, it's also the certain metals you use with the body, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Wow, we got the bad boy of rock on and got him to get into his spiritual side. I can't believe this. It's so everybody's got these sides to them. You got that mm-hmm. aggressive rock and roll side, and you got the spiritual side. Now, go ahead.
No, I mean, because actually it reminds me of people after the show, when I go off the stage, say, hey, were you the same person? Because, you know, when I play on stage, I'm really like another person. Like, it's not because I'm faking it, but it's just like I have a really out of body experience. Like the music sure. takes over, right? But when I go off, I'm Alex, you know, just, hey, what's up?
But you have another side of your personality that you play up there, you know.
That it's animal like side, that
same in a mosh pit than exactly. I am going to be in an interview or at my doctor's office.
Exactly. Yeah, but also when you see Angus Young on stage, like sweating and playing, also, you know, Ted Nugent, wow, he's 73 years old. It's a beast. And all these musicians, all these, I'm really inspired because I can see them, they're giving their life to music, right? And how lot work, there's a lot of work behind, a lot of work. And mm-hmm. that's why music connects me with being in shape, doing keto diet, doing like entertaining fasting, but also like helping people say, Alex, how do you stay in shape? And I give them tips. I train them with the jump rope. And it's still rock and roll because my life, it's every day I think about music, I compose, and I keep my body in shape because my show, you know, you saw him, there's a lot of energy. And if Alex Cole stops, you know, the factory stops. So, you know,
well, like, if Alex Cole gets choppy, forget it. Nobody, although, you know, Meatloaf just died, so maybe there's an opening. But I was gonna say, now, as far as the Tibetan bowls, now, I don't know if this is connected, but you performed for the Indonesian consulate.
Exactly.
Now, how did that come about? And I mean, are they real rockers down there in Indonesia in the consulate, or what happened there? That was really weird because I saw a video on it, but half was in Indonesian, so I had no idea like how.
There was in Los Angeles, and it was in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And I was connected with a brand of guitar that I was endorsing, NAMM. So we went to because they were connected. They were collaborating and branded with Indonesian how do you say, like people who makes guitar, like builders,
right?
Kind of like that. So mm-hmm. makers. So there was like a partnership, right? And so we played for the consulate, and no, they really liked that. They liked the show. They were like happy.
It seems like not every consulate would be they would probably, some of them would be like, oh no, this is too loud.
No, they were like really into it. So right. Even the consulate, you know, the consulate was
like a bunch of ambassadors in suits and ties, like moshing to your music. I'm having a hard time picturing it, but
exactly.
It seemed like it was a really fun night. And that's what I'm saying. Everybody was formally dressed, except you had your bell bottoms and your shirtless vest and all that. So
exactly.
That Alex Cole look, that classic. Mm-hmm. Now, Alex, before we go, I did want to ask you, since you are the bad boy of rock, what makes you such a bad boy?
Ooh, that's a good question.
What's the most bad boy thing you've done?
Wow. Okay,
let me. You can talk about on air. I know.
Wow.
Because the girls and the guys must love you.
When I'm a songwriter, you know, bad boy, the song called. It talks about Bon Scott, all these great rockers back in the 70s where they used to hang out with girls, And, you know, I wanted to write the song like this. And when I play on stage, sometimes happen that they jump on stage and they touch my chest, or they just go on their knees and, oh, Alex, you know. But the bad thing I did, no, I think I'm kind of, I like to hang out with girls because I'm a man. But, yeah, you know, it's I like to hang out.
So, I mean, have you had panties thrown at you, girls, like you say, girls rub your chest and
no,
they throw your phone numbers at you? And...
I don't know. The phone numbers, no, I just call them after the show.
Yeah. Like, what was, like, I can imagine you walking around the rainbow, forget about it. You just, even though the rainbow's full of rock stars that look like you, nobody quite looks like you. And then, when you start talking with that Italian accent, forget it. It's all.
Yeah, it's a different. It's different. But actually, you know, I'm kind of shy. So I like to hang out. I'm still there. You know, I meet friends. But I'm actually, it's hard to me to approach a girl like, oh, this is like, what? Yeah. I'm not that guy who's like bump into like, oh, I want a rest, or just like do, hey, I'm Alex, you know, how you doing? I'm a little bit shy. So if somebody introduced me to a girl, I'm happy like that. It's happening. But yeah, I'm a kind of like, I'm by myself. But yeah, it happens, you know, like eye contacts. It's can happen.
Right. And you've never had a situation where you were practicing and a girl was like, can you put your hands off that guitar and put your hands on me, please?
Yes.
I knew it. But you got to be a rock star. So that's. I mean, like I say, when you're in Italy and everybody has the same accents, you know, you're a good looking guy, but still, everybody's kind of sounds the same. You go to America and you're like, hello, I am Alex Cole, and you have that Italian accent and that charm. Forget it. I mean, Hannah, what is it about accents? I don't get it.
And they're just sexy. Like, I wish I had an accent. Like, I know I have an accent, but I wish I had like an Italian accent or an Australian accent.
You have an Alaskan accent. Yes, Alaskan accent. So when you hear Alex talk, it's a pretty sexy accent, right?
Yeah, it is. Yes.
Well, thank you so much, but I've been in Italy for too long, so I'm sorry that my accent, it's very Italian now. So I lost a little bit of Los Angeles, you know, accent, but yeah,
that's good. But that's good. And speaking of that, now, how long did it take you to learn English? And did you learn English before you got to LA, or
back in?
Have you always spoke English?
I went to study in Bristol, close to London, for a couple of months back in 2008. But when I came to Los Angeles in 2014. I just jumped into it and I was hanging out with Americans, not Italians, just Americans. So
right.
I have a good ear. Yeah, I have a good ear. And so speaking up, practicing, talk, and just make mistakes, but making mistakes, you go for the good.
Right. And you learned all the dirty words first.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But we cannot say that here. So.
Well, we can, but we're almost running out of time, so we won't.
Exactly.
And there is a slight accent when you sing, but it's not, it's weird because I've heard other foreign acts that have no accent and you have a slight one and it's no, you know, it's no big deal, but it's like, when you hear a foreign accent, when you hear somebody talking and they've got a huge accent, then you hear the song and they have no accent, they're faking. Somebody did something. Like they have to have a slight accent, right?
I guess so. I mean, when I talk and it's different, when I sing, it's very like, it's because my ear was trained to like listening to Elvis Presley or John Belushi, you know.
Yeah,
I was like emulating and talking and singing, even though I couldn't say, I didn't know what they were singing, you know, but I was emulating the language. So yeah, that helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I've known people who have stuttered, but when they sing, it's perfect.
Right. Yeah. Right. So this has just been a pleasure. Now, Alex, now what do you have? I know there's some secret stuff that you don't have going on, but what are you working on now? Are you working on a new album now? You got some songs in the works? What's going on with you now?
Oh, I have a new album rating, so I'm waiting for it to be published. You know, I'm looking for, you know, what's the best thing to do now, because we say that before that, it's hard to sell album. It's hard to, you know, all that stuff. So it's ready. I have a new album coming out. We'll see what's going, what will be the best way to promote it and publish it. And then I'm still talking with, you know, Giga Goff and Giorgio Serafini, their Senior Moment production. So we'll, there's something steering in the pot, like I said. And great. I can't wait to go back on the stage. So, you know,
what was the last time you were on stage? Was it before the pandemic?
Oh, it was August 15, 2019 at the Whiskey A Go Go after the television show.
You haven't been on stage in over 3 years. That sucks.
That's why I became a therapist, because also I have to heal myself.
Yeah. Yes. There's nothing that heals you better than just rocking a crowd up.
Yeah, but that's I'm positive, and things also always change for the good, for the best. So let's be.
It's always as it's meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. And now, thank you. I mean, I'm really happy to be here. Now we are talking. We are putting the word out. So we are, you know, you found me through Charlie. I mean, thank you, Charlie, from Renegade Radio, and, you know, for the connection again. It's amazing, you know. We're still doing it. We're still here.
Well, trust me, I got to say that I think a large label or a major label takes a chance on you, I think your stuff is just fun, and I think people would just have a great time. I think it would fit in many a movie and many a TV show, and even though it's quote unquote retro rock, it's fun, and it's great musicianship, great singing, and it's just, you know, there's just some music that it's just made for driving down the freeway and just having fun.
Yeah.
And I use the ZZ Top thing all the time. A lot of people are like, you like ZZ Top? I'm like, there's nothing better driving down the road, putting on some ZZ Top. And I think Alex Cole music is right with that.
Thank you so much. Yeah, that's what I want. That's what I feel.
It's not quite heavy metal, but it's hard rock, and it definitely rocks.
Absolutely. Yeah. It makes you feel good.
It does make you feel good. Now, Alex, last question. You've achieved a lot of your dreams. You've been on stage at the Whiskey, the mm-hmm. Viper Room. You opened for Ted Nugent. You opened for people from AC/DC and other. What band would you love to play with or open for?
I actually met George Thorogood in Los Angeles, and I came in touch with his management. I would love to open for him. I know it's different style, but I think it would be a nice opener for George. I know he's touring, but also like bands like maybe I would say Guns N' Roses. We are kind of maybe when AC/DC come back, but I would say these names.
And I would also say, with all the festivals going on, throw Alex on there, because I think he definitely would rock a crowd. And I think any type of festival. I think whether it's a metal festival or even an indie rock festival, I could even see you going to Coachella and just rocking the house.
Right. I've been to Coachella. I love that.
I mean, everybody's got a different type of music they listen to, but you do your own thing. And when people come, they're going to get what you do.
Straight rock and roll.
Straight rock and roll. And Hannah, how much fun is Alex?
You're a blast. You really are. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Your name is a little too close to, you know, Alex Jones. And there's a wrestler named Adam Cole. Are you aware of the other Alex Cole, who's like a piano player, singer? He's kind of like a light jazz guy.
I know.
There's another guy named Alex Cole who's a singer.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah, okay. I saw him on YouTube because I was looking at your stuff, and he came on, and he's kind of like a Michael Bublé sort of guy.
Oh, it seems. Okay.
I listened to it. It seemed, you know, it was okay for that, but it wasn't Alex Cole rocks.
So you mentioned Michael Bublé. I sang when I was 18 years old, and he heard me. Michael Bublé heard me singing in a TV show where I was working on.
Really?
He was promoting Moondance, the first song. It made him huge. And he heard me because I went on stage singing a song, like it was, I think, You know, I love you. It was like Gary Moore, right? Gary Moore's song,
right.
And Michael was there, so it was a fun moment. So,
everybody from Michael Bublé to Ted Nugent, the Hannah Bach likes you. You're in. So, Alex, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, your social media, and always add the rocks, because there's another Alex Cole out there, but there's only one Alex Cole rocks.
Yeah, you can go. Thank you, Mark, for mentioning that. You can go check me out on my website, alexcolerocks.com. Facebook, Alex Cole Rocks Official. My YouTube and Instagram are Alex Cole Rocks.
Alex Cole, he rocks. Don't forget the rocks. Hannah, it's always a pleasure seeing you. You look terrific. I like that dress on you. That's terrific.
Oh, thank you. I was driving traffic all day.
Yeah, you drive in traffic and you look better than I ever could. But before we get going, just real briefly, you saw Terrifier 2 and you loved it, right?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah. Are you I got over
my
movies,
eyeball
Alex?
Phobia.
What's that?
I got over my eyeball phobia.
Oh, is there eyeball stuff in it?
Uh-huh. Thank you, David.
Are you into horror movies, Alex?
I'm sorry?
Are you into horror movies?
Oh, horror movies? Yeah, depends. Not too slaughtery, but a little bit of suspense, you know, kind of like.
Well, we had David Howard Thornton, who plays Art the Clown in the Terrifier movies. And Hannah finally saw Terrifier 2, and apparently it's pretty gory, and so probably not for you, not for me, but for everybody else. So, and Hannah, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you, all your social media, and hopefully Vegan Uncensored return.
Yeah, you can just get me on Hannah Catherine, KATHRINE, on Instagram or Facebook. And I have Vegans Uncensored, my other podcasts, which we're trying to get back up on the air. So with our busy schedules.
Yeah. I hope so, and I hope jealous that you got to talk to Alex, talk about his bell bottoms and his tight pants. And
all that good stuff.
Yes, and I'm Goth Comedian, all social media. Everybody, ciao.
Ciao.
Have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye, paisans and paisanas.
And rock and roll.
Rock and roll.